I didn't know what a hymn sing was. That had to be explained to me. So.
Don't tell him you're not going.
Okay, I won't tell them that. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Gabe was supposed to preach. We've all been in Tennessee, and he was down, and we decided it best for him to, he needed to stay over till Monday, and so I decided I would take over, and so I was tired enough when Ray texted me and said, I heard you're the backup batter. What does that mean? Like batter? Like cake batter? I mean, that's all I could think about. I'm like, okay, I'm really racking my brain. Like, I haven't heard that one, but I'm trying to get it. And it didn't dawn on me until this morning. It was baseball. Like, it was baseball backup batter. Like, duh. Just shows you how tired I was a little bit last night. It's a little goofy on the drive home. Pinch hitter. That would have actually got me better. I'm pretty quick on these things, so Acts chapter 1. Sweet Spirit here this morning, as always. Encouragement. You can have that. You can have the Holy Spirit and His anointing when you leave here, and you can have it in your worst time at work and your bad times at home. That is available all the time. There is an anointing that comes when we're together, of course. Which is fantastic. I did throw this together last minute. I do feel like the Holy Spirit gave us something, and Gabe and I talked back and forth a little bit. I had a word, seasons. And I told Ray was bugging me, always does bug the guys preaching Saturday morning. Like, it's 7 o'clock. You know what you're talking about? No, I don't, Ray. I'll let you know when I get there. So I don't know what time, it's probably late afternoon. We were coming in from Tennessee, and I said, I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about seasons, but I don't really know what. And Lord just kind of really through the night, honestly, I woke up with some thoughts a couple different times, and then this morning just kind of flowed together. And this is probably a little bit of a carry through from my last sermon. So always got to recognize my beautiful mothers in the back row, my mother-in-law Judy and my mom. They're both mothers. They're both bossy, and they do all the mothering thing. And then my third mother up here to the left. So when there's three mothers in the room, I'm pretty much surrounded. So we'll have to do a good job. I also have a friend here, a buddy of mine. It's my it's my daughter's buddy, but we have a little bantering back and forth. So if you heckle, I will make you stand. Her name's Emily. Welcome, Emily. It's your first time. Yes, she's beat red. But don't let her quietness now fool you, because she can talk. She can go at it. Right, Emily?
Yes.
Amen. So can Carrie. Acts chapter, where did I tell you guys to go? Acts chapter 1? Okay. I'm gonna try to sit. I feel like it's a sitting morning, but we'll see. We're going to talk about seasons. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Just real quick, this book is written by Luke. Luke met Paul in Troas on his second missionary journey, and he wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. So when he is saying the former treatise, he's simply saying the book of Luke that I wrote, I'm also writing this as a second kind of addition to the book of Luke. For those who didn't know that, there's a little nugget. Luke wrote both of these and has a lot of insight as it relates to things that went on. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, speaking of Jesus, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. Or, I've told you about this previously, and now this is the time that that's going to be fulfilled. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus here is at the end of his ministry. He has already died on the cross and he has risen, but this is the time where he is back with his disciples before his ascension. And he's basically telling them, they've asked a question here, when is your kingdom going to come, right? And he has basically said, that's not for you to know, but go on into Jerusalem and wait for the promise that I've really already taught you. So, I mean, they already know what he's taught them. It was back in John where he told them that the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit. So I'm coming home from Tennessee and I'm thinking about seasons, and it's a great time of year, right? This is one of my favorite times of year. There's farming season and there's gardening. Who likes flowers? Does anybody in here do flowers? So flower season is coming up. We're in the rainy season right now. For me, fishing season. I love fishing season. Anyone else like, why are you frowning, Linda?
Because I haven't heard hunting season.
Well, the problem is, you're right. Hunting season is coming up. Turkey season comes up here in a few weeks. So turkey season comes in, gobble, gobble, right? So see, seasons are fun, right? So they're interesting. And I wrote this down this morning. Natural seasons are easy to see. I mean, they're repetitive. They're kind of what I would call circular in motion. Like as soon as you go past this one, just wait a while and it's going to come back around, right? And so I thought about this. If we had no calendar and no clocks, we would still know that spring is coming. How would we know that spring is coming? If no one was here to tell us, how would we know that spring is coming? Okay,
Signs.
Signs? Well, that's really general. Something more specific.
Plant buds.
So you would see plant buds. Okay, what else?
Birds.
Birds. What might you feel?
Warmth.
You're going to feel it getting warmer. You're going to see plant buds, you're going to see different colors. Like the grasses, we noticed this when we went to Tennessee. Every time we'd get a little farther, my wife was like, look how green that grass is. Like it just kept greener, 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 greener. And so as we come back north last night, it's like, boy, it's getting browner, browner, browner as we're coming back up to northern Indiana. It's a lot greener in Tennessee than it is up here. But it's coming. Why? How do we know it's coming? Because we've seen it, right? And we can feel the warmth and we know it's coming. So natural seasons, you really don't, like, you can't miss natural seasons unless you're just not paying attention, like, unless you're just not alive. So I thought about that. And as we think about spiritual seasons, which we're going to talk about here, we're going to dive into spiritual seasons. The reality about spiritual seasons is, unlike natural seasons, they can be completely missed and you can be right in the middle of them, right? So everyone around here is going to know that it's spring because you can sense it. Your natural senses work whether you tell them to work or not. You don't turn those off and on. You're going to know it's spring. In a spiritual sense, though, there can be a spiritual season that is coming, that's left, that's here, and you had no idea of either one of those three things. Even somebody comes along and says, can you, God's moving, and you're like, yeah, I mean, this ain't any different than the last 20 years of my Christianity. What do you mean he's moving? Like Lynn come up and said, hey, isn't God moving in the earth? And you all said amen. So that means you're all spiritually sensitive. But that doesn't mean everyone else is. And so as a thread to my last sermon in which I kind of said I'm confident God is moving or shifting the ecclesia, we're going to talk about seasons this morning and what does that mean and how do we figure out what that is. I want to go back and just draw back in just for 1 second to pull something from my last sermon. We're going to come back and talk about spiritual seasons here in a minute. I read to you a prophetic word from a gentleman that I listened to, and then I gave you something the Lord gave to me. I want to read this in context of seasons, all right? So this is the prophetic word that came a couple weeks ago. To someone there's lots of lanes, right? So you may have different teachers and preachers. The body of Christ is full of the fivefold ministry. If you really want to figure out how to connect to that, you should be able to. What I connect to, want a prophetic word and a prophet that I tend to have some anchor in, gave this word that he felt came from the Lord. There is an aligning among my lions that will usher in a new shift, a new season, right? Listen for season in this. A new shift in the earth. Powers will shift, authorities will shift, and ungodly rulers will be unseated. I am making room for those that are righteous to rule the land. The foundation of this alignment will be laid by my apostles and prophets. The aligning will be a source of activation and release and unity among my ecclesia. Interesting, where's Allie? Unity. You were talking about that this morning. So we're starting to see that. I mean, we're starting to see groups that weren't working together working together. We're starting to see people go, what we were divided about forever, that's dumb. Let's just get together because we're better together than we are apart, right? And so that's not manufactured human stuff. That's Holy Spirit doing things. Like, he's been planting those seeds. Sometimes he's got to get people to see something. Sometimes he just has to move some people out of the way that are barriers to that, to be honest with you. But let me continue here. He says, do not be distracted. Do not be discouraged. Set your heart in alignment with my word and my purposes. Align with those apostolic and prophetic voices who I am raising up in the land. You will hear different roars with different anointings, but as they align, you will clearly see that I am in the midst of the roar and my voice is at the center. This word is emerging as a new wine that is being poured out. There's some subtext there is that the Lord is saying, don't be confused that this guy's saying this and that guy's saying that and that lady's saying that and that group's saying that. I'm in the middle calling them all. Right? Don't get confused that just because there's a little variance and differences that all of a sudden don't wake up and go, oh, God's really not bringing this thing together. Look, they don't agree. That's not true. Okay, God's in the middle calling his people together, and there are differences. We'll have to figure that part of it out down here. Right now, he's calling all of us, hey, get up outside of your spot. We need to shift. When four corners come together, there will be a difference. It has to be, because the reason they're in four corners because they've done certain things that allow them to be there, which means they're not doing what they're doing. So there is a sacrifice and a new thing that has to happen, and that's the newness. It's not like we're going to get up and leave the country. It's just he's shifting the ecclesia to a spot that means we have to stop doing some things to accommodate some other people, and they have to stop doing some things to accommodate us, and vice versa, and so on and so on, right? But the ecclesia's got to figure out how to come together if we're going to move into this new territory. And so the last thing that comes from my last sermon is the Lord gave me something that is for me, but I'm going to be referring to this. He said, I'm moving my ecclesia to a place called what I kind of coined as spirit readiness. And it's a place where it's like we're more in tune to what the Spirit's doing than we are to our own time zones and our own processes. Now, again, don't get locked into meaning that's just in a church service. I mean, the reality is, that if we just come in here and have a spirit-led six-hour session, which is fine, but we don't take that with us to the job site or to the grocery store or to the gas station. I'm talking about spirit-led when you're driving down the highway and the Lord tells you to do something out there and you're all by yourself. That's the reality. It's easy to be somewhat spirit-led in here because you can follow each other. If you're not certain, just follow somebody else who is certain. Out there when you're by yourself, that's a whole other thing, listening to Holy Spirit tell you to do something when you have a mission and you're on a plan and he says, I don't want you to do that, I want you to do this. And you're like, well, I don't have time to do that. Like, I can't do that right now. And he says, well, I want you to do it anyways. And so that's the spirit-led part of this that is more important than it is in here when we meet together. It's really important that we learn to do that out there. I think Lynn mentioned that it's not about Jesus us just being in here together and liking that. It's like that has to take action out in the world. So drawing your attention to those seasons, let me show you some things that the Bible says. You won't be able to, yes? What?
Nothing. Somebody didn't turn off the phone.
Oh, is that me or you?
Me.
Oh, okay. I'm like, all right. I'm going to give you seven verses. You can write these down. We're not turning to them for the sake of time. I want to move through these pretty quick. I just want to give you a sense of what the Bible uses the word seasons for. Genesis 8:22 says this, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth remains, we're going to have a natural season. That's what Genesis 8:22, Bible opens up and says, we're going to have some seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under heaven, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Leviticus 26:4. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Psalms 1:3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How many ever had one of those? A word spoken in due season. I mean, it's really refreshing. And it's even better when it didn't come from someone else, and it just came straight out of your own prayer time, and you were looking for something, and God just popped right out of that Bible, right into your heart, and you're like, that was a good pop. That was pretty solid. That was solid. I didn't expect that to come out that like that. But that was a good pop. But we all have that, and you're like, we were in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, I think we were talking about Psalms and David saying how timely is a word and how refreshing is a word when it comes from God, especially when you're down and out and you need something, and he kind of comes in and says, yeah, I'm right here with you. I got a plan. And you're like, oh, that feels good. Doesn't mean the problem went away. It just means that you got a plan now. So that is Proverbs 15. Two more, New Testament, Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then lastly, 2 Timothy 4:2, which is what I'm doing this morning. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, even when your brother cancels on you and you have to come up with something. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So the Bible talks a lot about seasons, right? So I mean, it does. It's a question of season. Go back to Acts chapter 1, where we were at. Jesus here in verse 7 says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." Back in October, and I had to look this up. Back in October, I taught on the word seasons and times, and we discovered then during my teaching that there's two words for time, right? There's chronos. I don't know if you remember this. There's chronos, which, what do you hear in the word chronos as it relates to time? Chronological. So chronos time is like your watch. Like it's marking time. Like it's the boring side of time. It's the is this ever going to be over? This is the kids in the back on vacation. When are we getting there? Like that's chronos time. Kairos time, which is also in the Bible. These are the two words for time in the Bible. Kairos time is, we have arrived. So that's the kairos time. Everybody's happy. It's time to go, and things are fantastic. So there's two times, and interesting enough, Jesus uses both of these words in this verse. And we'll go there in just a second. He uses both of the Greek words in this verse, and it's a little covered up. This is why you got to dig around. This is why you got to let the Holy Spirit lead you, but you got to dig around in the Bible a little bit. Let's go back to 7, and I'll read it with these two words. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the chronos time or the kairos time, which the Father hath put in his own power. He says to them, now here's what they asked him. They said, he's getting ready to send, and they basically said, and this is so hilarious of the disciples. I mean, their whole thing is, you going to set your kingdom up now, Jesus? How about now, Jesus? How about now, Jesus? And he keeps telling them, not now, not now, not now. This is literally like a few seconds before he's going to go up to heaven. And their last question is it now? Like, are you going to set it up now? And he says to them, this verse is an answer to that question. It is not for you to know the chronos time or the kairos time that my Father has saved for himself. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't tell him nothing. He says, but here's what I will tell you. And he gives them a sense of what to do going next. So I want to pull this apart here for just a second. There are three seasons spiritually. We're not talking about natural seasons. If you can't get the natural seasons, come talk to me after the sermon. We'll try to help you practically on the natural seasons. Spiritual seasons is what we're talking about. There's three seasons that you kind of need to mark down and have a sense of. There are secret seasons. Verse 7, there are just things that God's the only one that knows, and no one else is going to know it, and you can beat, and you can scream, and you can cry, and you can kick, and you're not going to get an answer. They're in His purview, and He's going to let them out when He decides. That's verse 7. Now, the second one is, there are known seasons, right? Verse 8, But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If the disciples had not asked when you're setting your kingdom up, and they would have said, hey, you remember that thing you were talking about? When are we going to get the Holy Ghost and have power and be witnesses? He wouldn't have said, that's a secret, I'm not going to tell you. He would have said, oh, that's a good one. Just go over there and get in that house, and the next couple days you're going to get that power, and then you're going to go be witnesses. See, he didn't keep everything from them. He actually told them in verse 8 a season. He told them about a season they were about to step into that had never existed before. So this is not a hide-and-seek game with God on all the seasons. There are things that he's not going to reveal. Then there are known things that Jesus himself, Jesus is also the Word. So there are seasons that this Bible, which is the Word, tell us exist. And we don't need to be confused about those. We just read it, right? And we determine from our own ability to go, that's a season. Jesus told us that season was going to be here. The disciples weren't wondering. Jesus said, go over there. Holy Spirit's going to come down. You may not understand exactly, but you're about to enter into a season if you go over there. Interesting enough, how many people saw Jesus at the ascension? What's the Bible say? It does. Remember? 500. Right? How many went to the upper room? 120. 120 went to the upper room. What happened to the other 380? I don't know. I'm not suggesting that they weren't supposed to be there. There was 500 heard this instruction. Jesus told all of them standing there on that question. 500 people have been following Jesus to the point that he let them see him go up to heaven, and he gave them commandment, and 120 of them showed up the upper room. I'm not saying the 380 missed out. I just want to be in the 120, and I'm encouraging you, figure out how to be in the 120. All right? If you're standing there and see Jesus ascending, and you find out that he gave commandment to go to the upper room for the next season, just go there. If you have something inside of your spirit, and he's telling you to do it, and you ignore it, you may miss an upper room experience. You may miss a Kairos moment. See, the upper room is a Kairos moment. And then there's the third one here is revealed seasons. Now, I'm going to speed up here. Holy Spirit, so you have secret seasons that God's basically keeping for himself. And the Scripture is very clear about that. There's known season that Jesus, the Word, has defined. And then there's going to be revealed seasons that Holy Spirit's going to show us. That's his ministry, right? Jesus said that he, the Spirit, will show you things. John chapter, the last four or five books of John's full of this, that Holy Spirit's going to reveal to us certain things that we don't know. He's going to show us certain things. Those are going to be seasons and times. Now, how do we recognize, if it's me, right, so what I want us to ask the question on as we kind of go into the final segment of this is how do we recognize seasons? If we can miss seasons, how do we recognize them? How do we not miss seasons? I don't want to miss a season, right? I don't want to miss the moving of God. I don't want to be after the fact and somebody comes in, man, that was an awesome five-year move of God. And I'm like, I missed it. Like, man, when's the next one coming? Well, we don't know. That one was great. We're just, you know, we're catching our breath from that one. I don't want to miss the awakening. There was people who went through the Great Awakening, never knew there was a Great Awakening, folks. Like, every historical revival that ever has been, there was a whole group of people that never saw it. And don't understand why they wrote books about it, because they just don't see it. And so, unfortunately, guess what? That's in the church. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. This is what we don't want to be, and by the grace of God, we're not. I think we have leaders and a remnant, especially here, that are hearing the Spirit and that they're moving with him. Matthew chapter, what did I tell you, 16? Did I say 15? Matthew 16, 1 through 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tempted him and said, show us a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time, or that is basically Kairos. You can't discern it. Here's the number one reason, and we're going to kind of talk about this. This is a thread throughout. Here's the main reason we miss times and seasons, because our discernment is awful. Okay, our church ability to discern things is awful. Listen, we are the Pharisees of that day. He's talking to the religious people. The reason he's upset is he's like, you should know. Like the entire Old Testament talked about me coming. I'm here and you don't see it. Like you can look at the weather. He basically said, you can look at the weather and predict the weather. Like you can know it's springtime and you can know that rain's coming, and you can know this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but you just have, you're lost in the fact that the Son of God, the kingdom of God, is standing in front of you, and you are oblivious to it. You do not recognize the Kairos in front of you. We don't want to be that. If that's not clear, headline, we don't want to have Him say that to us. Amen? We want to recognize the flow of the Spirit. We want to recognize the Kairos moment when it comes. Here's what I wrote down. What is discernment? What is discernment? Because He basically says here, Jesus says, you cannot discern the Kairos times. So if He's saying to them, you're not able to discern, then I want to know, what is discernment? What's that mean? Like, I want to know what that means, because I can be trotting along in my life and I can be working and putting hours in and being good to my family and eating right and health and being healthy and doing all that thing, and maybe I'm not discerning anything. Like, I'm not even thinking about discerning, and if I'm not discerning, then I might miss spiritual seasons. Don't miss this point. If you can't discern, you will miss spiritual seasons. And if you miss spiritual seasons, you will miss something that God needs from you and God has for you, right? So discernment is a major piece. If I walk into a kitchen and there's a cake there with frosting on it, just so you know, yellow cake, chocolate frosting is my favorite. Not that any of you need to make that for me, but yellow cake, chocolate frosting is my favorite. So both my moms know that in the back. Both of them do a really good job. Olive does a pretty decent job. She made a yellow cake the other day, did not put any chocolate frosting on it. But we ate all of it anyways.
Last time I did, you yelled at me.
You're right, I did. I am a little picky about all this stuff. If I walk in and say, this kid, I hear a lot of laughing out of my nieces over here. So if I walk in and say, this cake is not that great, and I move on, that's not discernment, right? Somebody who knows how to discern a cake can taste it, and what do they say? Somebody might say, did you put enough sugar in this, or did you put enough flour in this, or did you put, like, you know, oil in the thing when you're supposed to put water? Like, you know, Gabe tried to fry fish one night with
corn syrup.
He called us and said, I can't get the fish to boil. Like, yes, exactly. My wife's like, well, what are you using? Because Mindy was gone. And it was like, well, I got this thing. She's like, read it to me, corn syrup. So he had corn syrup instead of regular oil. And it was...
She had to throw the pan away.
Yeah, she did have to throw the pan. He heated that stuff as hot as he could get it, and the fish wasn't fried. No discernment. No discernment with Gabe and cooking, all right? No discernment. Discernment's simply this: comprehending the various parts that are not seen. So you don't see the, I don't see the ingredients in the cake, but someone who has discernment can see and understand that there's something making that up. And you could go as deep as you want. You could go beyond sugar. You could go all the way down to the granular, iso, whatever. Talk to Steph about that level. Like, all the way down to whatever's in a rock, like thing, whatever. You could go all the way down if you had discernment. Like, in spiritual terms, folks, when you look at fighting and you look at wars and you look at poverty and you look at broken families and you look at broken workplaces and you look at disease that's rampant and you look at the governments that are a mess, don't look at it like a cake. Discern it with spiritual things and understand there are spiritual building blocks that were not put in place right that produced whatever that was. And in order to dismantle it and fix it, you can't fight it up here, right? You can't fight that up here. You have to fight that down at the subterranean level, to be honestly, and I'm kind of moving back and forth between natural and spiritual, but I think you're getting it, is that you have to, discernment is a really important thing. Success and failure can be tied to our ability to discern spiritual things that need to be brought into the natural. Let me say that a different way. If you can't discern, then there may be things going on in your life that you're not aware, whether they're successes or failures, and you might need to just, instead of just at the face value going, oh, that cake stinks, I don't like to eat that, maybe a different word, well, I just think maybe God wanted this to happen. Dig a little deeper. Maybe it wasn't, maybe God didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe it was you. Maybe you didn't make the right turn when he told you to because you were too busy focused on go getting the money you needed to get. Or maybe going to do what you wanted to do, right? If you continue to move in a direction where God doesn't do, something's not going to go right for you, right? That doesn't mean that this eliminates grace and mercy. God is grace and mercy, and we're not on a to-do list, right? So, but there is a discernment process that has to take place in order for us to get in the right space spiritually. More distinctly than just general discernment, there is a lack of discerning between chronos time and kairos time. Now let me give you, I'm going to break this down. We're going to break into this a little bit, and then I'm going to turn to my last one, and we'll be done here pretty shortly. But not only do we not just discern, like Jesus got after these guys and said, you don't discern the times and season. And this was a big one. I mean, he's the Son of God standing there. He's been doing miracles for 3 years, and they're all like, give us a sign. Like, dear Lord, like, you want a list? Like, how many more signs you want? Like, why didn't he just say that to them, right? He'd already said, like, I already did signs. Like, how many more you want? So, I mean, this obviously their intentions were wrong. They were just missing the whole thing. So there's a general discernment that there's levels of discernment. And I want to kind of drill down to not just general discernment, which we just talked about, but now more distinctly, the idea of can you tell the time? Can you tell the season? When people like myself or my wife or others say, Holy Spirit's moving, can you discern what that means? Because that's a very generic Christian term, right? It's very churchy. You'll probably hear that in a lot. But are you really understanding at the micro level, if you will, under the surface, are you seeing the things that are not being seen and not being said? When I say the Spirit's moving, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't have time to share, right? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because that's when all of a sudden, when you get down kind of sub-level, is when Holy Spirit can really start doing things. That's when we start to figure out, that's when all of a sudden when you're praying and you're pushing in the Spirit for freedom, and you're grabbing for, man, I just want to do what the Spirit wants to do. It's fantastic, and you're a pusher, and I like it. So I'm encouraging you. I'm not discouraging you. But it's like when everyone in the room, when that gets over a hump where everybody's searching for that, and not only searching for it, but knows how to read it, miracles are going to happen. Like stuff's gonna come uncorked, right? And when the body of Christ happens like that, and it happens in four or five different spots in the community, all of a sudden, then a county goes, and then a state goes, and then a revival all of a sudden is here in our lap. But it doesn't start with revival. We'll get to that in just a second. I'm gonna give you three instances of three different things, and I'm gonna point these out. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come," and that word is kairos. He basically, so that's a moment. That's like, we're there. Vacation has arrived. We're not traveling anymore. We're eating dinner. Or it's time to put the combine in the field and go. That's a kairos moment. It is, I went to Texas. I got all this stuff, and I drove all the way back, and I've been doing this for a week and a half, and the guy came and bought it and wrote me a check. Kairos moment, right? That's what business guys look for. That's a kairos moment. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come." Boom. Kairos moment. Then he says, in a different way, he says, "Yet a little while and I am with you." That term, he literally used the word chronos. So he has a kairos moment. He shows up, John the Baptist baptized him, being Jesus has a kairos moment. It's like, boom. And then he spends 3 years in chronos. Like, I'm here. I'm going to be here for a while. This is a long season. I'm going to be here for a while. So that's a chronos moment. And then it is finished. Another kairos moment. It's the actual word that it's fantastic to study this topic because you can see. So Jesus has this kairos moment, and then there's this chronos time, and then there's another kairos moment. And I will tell you, be aware, because this is how it works. Almost all the time, seasonal changes in your life will begin with a kairos moment, and then you'll have to go through the boring stage of chronos to make it grow, work it out, and then somewhere along, once things become normal, you'll run into a kairos moment. And people can get discouraged. We'll talk about that here in just a second. So understand this. To discern spiritually the times and the seasons, you're going to have to understand the principle that I just talked about. Let me give you a practical view of this. Often in the Word, especially in the New Testament, I only gave you like six scriptures, but there's literally hundreds, because the word time is also used. You could use season or time, and it's all chronos or kairos. There's just hundreds of examples in the Bible on this, but it's very much kairos is related to harvest. So it's tied a lot of times. When Jesus would be talking about a harvest or something that was ripening, he would use the term kairos, right? So think about that. That makes sense because it's a you got the time and you're waiting for it to grow, and all of a sudden the moment comes and you're there. So let me ask you this question. All of us would know when it's harvest season this fall. Harvest season is going to start in October, November timeframe, right? Where everybody in here is going to know, for the most part, that it's harvest season. How are you going to know that? What's one of the irritating things that happens in harvest season? Huh? Combines on the road. You have to slow down and wait for that perfect opportunity to pass. It's just as frustrating for the combine driver. Like, why don't you come around me? It's a double line, but it's okay. I'm only going 10 miles an hour. Just pass me. For those of you who don't know that, tractor drivers are fine if you pass them on a double line, as long as, you know, just go around them. That's a good point. I should back up. You're right. I should say don't try this at home is what I should say. I should back that up. That's not safe.
You gotta think.
Like riding a bull?
Ouch.
Hey. I can only do that because he's family. Here's the distinction. This fall, there's going to be a group that has a Kronos harvest season, and there's going to be a group that has a Kairos harvest season. What do you think the difference is between those groups? Who's in the Kronos group and who's in the Kairos group? This is so simple. When I tell you, you're going to be like, oh, duh. Anybody? Who's in the Kairos group? Nope.
The ones that have been living off the Kronos for a while.
Nope. This is a kingdom. This is when this answer comes, this is the key that Jesus said is the key to the entire kingdom of God. Scott?
The one that goes to the field and says, hey, this is right now, let's go. Or the ones that go by, hey.
So the only people who are going to have a Kairos harvest season are the ones that planted the seed. The rest of you are just having a Kronos harvest season. There's no Kairos for you. You're not running a combine. You're not collecting the crop. You're just watching the Kairos harvest season go on for those of us who planted seeds. So is the kingdom of God, that Jesus said, as if a man plant a seed in the ground, go to bed night and day, water that seed, doesn't know how it grows, but when harvest comes, he puts in the sickle and takes it. Kairos seasons only happen spiritually for those who plant seed. Because what happens in the church is you're fooled. You're waiting for the move of God to show up on Facebook or the news or somebody to come in and go, there's a revival going on, let's go to it. And they never start like that. They start when there is no revival, decides that they're going to pursue God if they're the only ones in the church doing it because they have something from God. Let me give you an example, and we're going to close with this. And this is the principle. Seed time and harvest. Genesis 8, 22. It will never cease. It never ceases in the natural. It won't cease in the spiritual. You're going to plant a seed. You're going to have Kronos time, and then you're going to harvest. Okay? You can get in somewhere, but I won't be up here. For God to start a seasonal shift, he's got to have people, when it's boring and aren't paying attention, who will receive the seed of God in their life. I wrote this down. The seeds will get planted and watered quietly and almost unnoticeably in the hearts of the future giant killers like David. Pay attention. David, in his Kairos moment, was out shepherding, and they came running out. David, some old-time, crazy-looking prophet wants to see you. David runs up to the house. The prophet pours oil over him. Kairos moment. David doesn't have a clue what's going on. Okay? He knows there's oil all over the top of his head. And the prophet knows what's going on, but David doesn't. And the prophet's not going to be around to see the fulfillment of this Kairos moment. What's David do? Does David go become king? No. David goes back out and just starts chalking Kronos time, protecting the seed. He knows something happened. There's something in there, right? There's something in there. He's protecting it. He's nurturing it. He's not letting it get defeated. He's not listening to his brothers say, "Ah, I don't know what that was, but that was dumb. That old guy didn't know what he was talking about. You're not going to be king," right? He just protected it. Kairos moment, something happened. Kronos moment, a little discouraged. Then one day, on normal routine, he heads up to the battlefield, and the whole nation is in a Kronos mode. They're like, it's horrible. Lack of Kairos moment in Saul is what the problem is. Lack of Kairos moment in King Saul is why David's coming up there. Here comes David's Kairos moment. Here comes his second Kairos moment, right? The first Kairos moment is he shows up with the prophet who pours oil over him. And then he goes back out and he doesn't know what this is. And he's probably discouraged. He's like, when am I going to be king? I don't know when I'm going to be king. And he's arguing with himself and he's saying, that's not real. And this is years. This is not like months. This is years. He ends up on a battlefield and his Kairos moment shows up. And the Kairos on the inside of him, that thing connects. It just comes shooting from the Kairos moment. It shoots through and simply erases the chronological time. And he's ready to go with the covenant of God. He goes out and with that second Kairos moment, he ushers in a season for the entire kingdom of God. Ain't that awesome? I love it. Some of you have had a Kairos moment, right? Some of you know something happened. But I'm in a Kronos time, and I'm discouraged, and I don't know where that next moment's at. If you're that, stand up. Good. All right. The rest of you stand up, because we're closing. Listen, I don't have an answer when your next Kairos moment is coming, for those of you bold enough to stand up. For those of you who weren't, no problem. God's grace and mercy will cover it. If you're in a Kairos moment, and you had a Kairos moment, and you know you had a Kairos moment, and you just know something happened, and you know you're a giant killer. You just haven't found the giant to kill yet. Or you don't know, you're not bold enough to actually do it yet. Well, just keep training, all right? Don't worry about being bold enough. Just keep training. Right? It'll be natural when it's time to kill the giant. But remember this, that the next Kairos moment is what pivots it can set a whole nation free. Linda was talking about a nation of peoples that need set free. Somebody's going to have a Kairos moment. Somebody's already had a Kairos moment, is in Kronos right now, and they don't even know it, and they're going to be the David, the giant killer for that people group. Probably lots of people. Lord is ready to release a bunch of that. Yes,
can you allow me to
please.
So can we finish what Jesus was saying in verse 4?
Yes.
An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment where if we're allowing ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit, then all our responsibility is to be obedient.
Absolutely.
Gabe, God works through that.
Gabe called me this morning and said, I only have one thing that he said I was going to preach on Jonah this morning. And he said, I was going to tell them that God doesn't work in great, he doesn't change the world through the macro group. He changes it through one obedient person like Jonah. It's interesting that you brought that up. So listen, you're a David. We're all Davids. We just got to listen, right? And I know we need to wrap up. Can you hear the Spirit? Right? So he's inside is where that seed goes, right? The Kairos seed goes in here. You don't have to make it grow, right? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is if a man plants a seed, goes to bed night and day, waters the seed, but he doesn't know what? What doesn't the human need to know? How it grows. Like, don't worry about it, right? Just be ready when your moment comes. Like, you don't have to get frustrated about it not growing. Time will come. Water it. Just keep watering it. Keep believing. Keep talking to people about it. Keep expecting. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of God has got a message for us this morning, and that is, there's a Kairos moment coming. I'm telling you. And I think he's got a bunch of us prepared to fire off all about the same time. I'm not sure. But I'm saying that there is stuff coming. And what will happen in the revival, and you've heard me starting to talk about this, is we have to shift out of this box mentality. Our Kairos moments, frankly, don't need to happen in here. They should happen out there, right? They happen on the battlefield. They happen where there's no giants to kill in here, folks. Like, there's no Goliaths in here. Like, they're out there. Like, the fight's out there. This is the encouragement place. This is where we come and fire each other up. But the giants aren't in here. The giants are out there. So we go out and have our Kairos moments. And we have a couple Kairos moments out there. We're going to see a county start to, and again, don't get fooled into like Elijah, like we're the only ones. We're not. Holy Spirit's moving all over the earth because it's time, getting close for him to come back and wrap this thing up. You're dismissed. Amen.